Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James Jay, here. We're joined by Terry Johns. And right now on the phone, we have our good friends from the WeatherEye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How are you doing today?
Pretty well. How about yourself there?
Good to hear.
We have a very important question for you.
Yes.
Today is National Sandwich Day. Is a taco a sandwich?
Yeah.
A taco, a sandwich. I could put it in there.
You could grandfather it in. Could see it.
Yep.
Okay, it's the hot debate around
it
here.
It is.
So.
It is one of those debates. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for playing along. What has Mother Nature got in store for us today?
Oh, it's going to be another warm one today. And, still looking at some mix of clouds and sunshine out there and highs in the low 70s. So still taking in one more day of this unseasonable warmth. Tomorrow's still pretty mild and then kind of a gradual cool down through the weekend coming. Tonight's lows at 58, clouds filtering in, shower chances developing overnight, and then on Friday, clouds and some showers in the area, mid-60s, Friday night 43, as some more rain moves in, some soaking rains that continue into the weekend on Saturday 55, and then turning partly cloudy Saturday night, eventually after the showers taper off, 36 for the low, and then 57 and partly sunny Sunday. And still trending back up to about 50 with a partly sunny sky Monday, some mid-50s Tuesday, maybe some more rain middle of next week. I'm meteorologist Paul Frommley.
Paul, are we still experiencing that unseasonable kind of like temperatures? It seems like it.
Yeah, certainly are. We did see a couple records go down yesterday around the area. They had a record high of 73 in Wausau, 75, a new record high in Green Bay.
Wow, so, it's been gorgeous. Good time to get your outside holiday stuff done.
Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah, take advantage. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate the time. You have a great morning. We'll talk tomorrow.
Hey, you bet. You guys too.
A big shout out to our friends at the WeatherEye Weather Center, best in the business. Appreciate the time, and always appreciate Paul like putting up with our questions and stuff like that. He's
best
great.
In the business, but,
but
a taco is not a sandwich.
You know, to be fair, he walked into that.
He did
just with knowing it was a loaded question.
He's
been doing this long enough to know. You know what? I'm going to play both sides of this one because I don't know where these two crazy people.
He's
are
like,
falling
oh,
out of.
On the days she's there, I'm going to send someone else.
Yeah.
Where is Michael these days?
Calling ahead to find out who the co-host is that day. That'd be hilarious.
And then they could just put Michael Carroll on.
You'd be the first. We got some fun things coming up this hour. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club a little bit later. We've got some other stuff we'll get into as well. Right now, how to maximize your vacation days in 2023.
Oh, this is great.
It's a nice one, especially I forget this because I've never taken a
because
vacation.
Because you're terrible about taking time off.
I'm really
off.
Bad at it, but a lot of people are gearing up to like start planning their spring vacations and start scheduling them now and in later November and December, from what I hear from people who are actually good to themselves.
Well, and I think, okay, first of all, if you have paid vacation time available to you, use it.
Yes.
It's there for a reason. I really, I go over this with my staff all the time. Use your time off. It's a time to refresh, rejuvenate, get things done at home so you don't feel overwhelmed, however you want to spend the time. But for a small office like us, we actually start because I can't have everybody off at the same time. So we actually do start pretty soon, first week of December is when people kind of start giving me their requests for the next year so that, because we can only have two, maybe three people off at once. We do need somebody in the office. But use the time. Do you get paid vacation now?
I don't know.
You should find out.
I haven't even looked at it.
But if you do, use it.
Well, if I do, then I would have no excuse. Then I definitely, I can actually say I would promise that I would take a vacation.
And don't always use it on the day I'm here.
Right. I don't take like 4 days off in a row. I just take those specific days off. And
like, Terry, when are you available? Oh, I'm not here those days.
Funny how that worked out. It won't. So someone on Twitter figured out how to maximize your vacation days next year by grouping them around holidays so you end up with big chunks of time off.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Like for Thanksgiving coming up, our office is closed Thursday for Thanksgiving and Friday. So somebody could take a vacation day on Wednesday or Monday and end up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days off using only one vacation day.
How about that? I like that.
I mean, that counts the weekend, but still.
I've never
That's a nice
about
run
this.
Of time. Yeah, that's smart.
Hmm. It won't work for everyone, but since a lot of companies don't give days off for all holidays we choose, and it's based on having 18 vacation days a year, which is a lot, but you don't have to do them all at once, and you can kind of work with what your vacation days are. So in January, take the Thursday and Friday before Martin Luther King Day off. If you get that following Monday off too, it's 5 days in a row.
Yeah, so kind of like Thanksgiving.
I see. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I like this. I might actually bookmark this page just because I could probably use all the help I can get in literally taking you a vacation. I was thinking about it the other day. I don't even know where to begin. Like as far as if I was just taking some time off and just staying here in town or whatever, I could do that. But as far as making plans.
Oh, so you're saying like to actually go on a vacation.
I've been really itching.
I love planning vacations. You just tell me where you want to go.
Got
I'll figure it out.
All right.
I love doing that.
You are my booker then.
All right.
I'm going to you
your
on
bookie.
This one. Yeah, yes. Yeah, my bookie. Takes me back. It's nostalgic for me, Terry, to have a bookie.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah. In April, take off full week before Easter. If your company's closed on Good Friday and Easter Monday, it only requires 4 vacation days and both weekends. It's a 10-day break.
Yeah, crazy.
Man, that sounds really nice, actually, huh? In July, take off Monday, July 3rd. With that weekend, it's a 4-day weekend. A 4-day break.
Yeah, or like sometimes, like for us, if a holiday falls on Saturday, so like for instance, or Sunday, then we have the paid holiday is the following day. Mm-hmm. So this year, Christmas Eve is on Saturday, Christmas is on Sunday. So we actually, our staff gets off Friday for the Christmas Eve and then Monday for Christmas Day. So everybody automatically gets 4 days off without using any vacation time.
That's
so,
very cool.
Yeah, it is
and
cool.
And impressive, if I can say, from a nonprofit. I wouldn't think that you'd be, that would even be an option.
So. Yeah, so I try to be really strategic about that and some good forethought on that because we don't offer other things like health insurance and that kind of stuff. So it's like, what can we afford to do? Yeah. And paid time off is one of those. Mm-hmm. We try to be generous.
It's very smart. I think that's really interesting. Huh. And next November, take the full week after Veterans Day off and 3 days before Thanksgiving. It's 8 vacation days, but gives you up to 17 days off in a row. And then next December, take off 4 work days between Christmas and New Year's, and you'll have 10 days off in a row.
Yeah, because of how they'll line up next. Yeah, how the calendar will line up next year. I don't know.
I will. I have to throw something else out there too, especially since we're throwing holidays into the mix with all this. You could do all these things, which seem like all great ideas, or you could be Jewish. Because we have a billion holidays, literally, like every other day. I'm pretty sure today's a Jewish holiday. I'm not sure which one. Like, we got 1,000 of these, you guys. So, like, look, I mean, I'm not saying you got to go jump whole full, be full tribe and walk around with the Star David. But, I mean, it's something to think about. Just saying. Got a lot of days off. A lot of days off. If I actually took every day, like taking the religious, exceptions you have in workplaces and everything, I would never be here. I'd be here like 4 days a year.
You'd
like,
also so be darn holidays. Super broke.
Yes. That's another thing. That's another reason why I can promise you that Jews don't run the entertainment world. Too many days off. Well, there's no way we'd be able to run everything and have all the days off that we do.
See?
It's just not physically possible. This is the only way to fight anti-Semitism I've found nowadays, Terry, is sarcasm. This is one of the ways I choose to do it. So.
Okay, but if you get paid time off from work, use it.
Yeah.
Absolutely use it. Lose it. Use it.
I'm so glad you started there. I have had a couple of friends that have done this that have let it go by the wayside. And I know my own mom did this.
Sure.
She knew she was going to retire within a year or so leading up to it and everything. And she knew she had these days off and she kept on pushing, kicking the can. And now in that respect that they did, I believe paid her days off or something.
Some places
like that,
pay
maybe.
Out.
I don't know. I don't like asking money, people. But either way, I hope she got something out of it because you're so right about that. It's for somebody like me that most my working career, I might have them now, I'm not sure, but most of my career, I've never had anything close to that. And that is a big reason why I didn't take a vacation. I can't literally take days off of work. I got responsibilities. For me, taking one day off of work, I don't want to say I live necessarily check to check, but damn close to it. I can literally not afford to take one day off of work. Like, we joke
an
about
unpaid
this
day,
and stuff.
Right?
Yes, an unpaid
day. Yeah.
Now, that paid thing, the fact that even a nonprofit's doing something like that, I would think that any business out there to your full-time employees, that's a wake-up call, I would hope. Because we talk a good game about mental health, but you hit it on the head. when you've had vacation and you come back, are you better at your job? Do you feel stronger at your job? Do you feel rejuvenated? I imagine you would.
Yeah, I think so. And I, you know, like I said, I push our team and I even remind, you know, we allow to carry over a couple of days to the next year, but you can't carry over all the days. So literally like 2 weeks ago, I sent a message and said, hey, you have this many vacation days between now and the end of the year that you have to use or you will lose. You know, don't lose them.
Yeah.
Use them.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not lose them. Yes. Here's an interesting one. Some people say that the best thing you could do as a parent is read to your kids, and kids are cool with it as long as you aren't burning the midnight oil trying to make it through the Harry Potter series. In a new poll, parents and young children were asked how long they can read to their kids before they lose interest. The most popular response was 5 to 10 minutes, but around 86% of kids can handle up to 20 minutes before getting bored out of their minds. Only 14% of kids like to read to them for more than 20 minutes per sitting. And when asked how often parents read to their kids, about 77% of parents claimed they read books to their kids every day. About 13% read to their kid every other day, and about 10% read to their child only once a week or even less often. I did save this one, Terry, because I know that with the United Way, you guys have the Reading Mentor Program, the Imagination Library. So I felt this is a little in your wheelhouse, a little bit. And you've read to your children earlier than
Absolutely.
I have. My kids are in their 20s. I try to call up Bree all the time. Hey, Bree, can I read your story? Dad, I'm busy. I have a life. Why are you calling me at 9 in the night? I just wanted to. You want to hear Goodnight Moon? No, I mean, I know Goodnight Moon. I know how it ends.
Actually, she's like, sure, go ahead and read. And then she's like, mute.
Yeah. Because she's too sweet. She would not tell you no. She wouldn't tell me no. You're right. You're good at it. That's so good.
She pops her earbuds in. Yeah, okay. Oh. Let me know when his mouth stops moving.
Every once in a while, she jumps on. Oh, yeah. It just gives a little noise, so it looks like she's listening.
So, seemingly the magic number is 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and that is the goal when you think about school-age kids, so starting in kindergarten. Is that you should be reading to your kids or they should be reading to you.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, kind of a back and forth, mm-hmm. or you could read every other page but when we think about practice and retention and learning reading skills,
yeah.
20 minutes a day mm-hmm. is what is recommended. And so that's something that we very much promote for school age and with our reading mentors. And that's why one of the reasons why we have reading mentors in our local schools is that we did hear kind of a startling percentage there about, you know, like about 30% aren't doing it daily.
Yeah.
I would argue that it's probably higher. You know, maybe some people who answered this, mm-hmm. you know, just were feeling a little guilty. And so they said they do it every day. But hopefully we really do get to a point where 70 or 75% are doing it. But that's part of the reason why the mentors are there is that it's giving that child another trusted adult that mm-hmm. they can do their practice reading with, because a lot of the kids aren't getting that done at home. Now, there can be a variety of reasons. I'm not parent shaming in any way, right? You could be working at, maybe you work second shift. Yeah. And so when the kid gets home from school, you're at work and you don't have that. But it is really encouraged. And I agree about the attention or the captivity of that child. Like 20 minutes, you probably do top out at. And once they are developing their reading skills, though, let them do the reading. Even if they can only read half of it, you know, let them join in. But there's also something to be said about that. Maybe that bedtime story, or maybe you pick a little bit harder book. Like, you know, let's say your child is in kindergarten, but you read Charlotte's Web out loud mm-hmm. to them. You know, so every night you read 10 pages and then you're talking about, you know, what it is that you read. And maybe that's where you gather up all your kids and do it together. So they get their practice. But if they're preschool, you know, if they're birth to age to like 4K, then yeah, you know, it's more of your picture books and it's more of, you know, identifying shapes and objects and colors and you reading to them. But 20 minutes a day is really, the researched and kind of the golden ticket on reading proficiency mm-hmm. by the end of third grade.
Well said. I really like what you mentioned there about talking after what you read, like especially like as they get older.
Like the comprehension part.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you retain. That's how you keep information. And that's only going to help them as they get into school and doing more and more important work as that goes on. I've mentioned many times that I moved around a lot, so every time I started a new school, they were clearly not going to be teaching what my last school was. So learning, reading, incredibly difficult for me growing up. I'm able to do a job where part of my job is reading. Part of my my schooling growing up and when I went to college and everything, obviously, was a lot of heavy reading and those kind of things. And I'm okay at it. I could be better, but I'm okay, all things considered, because it was so very important to my mom that she read to us every night. We didn't have a lot of books. We had like 3-4 books. So after a while, she would kind of start creating different things in the story.
Sure.
And it really inspired me to my kids, that where my kids, a little similar, we didn't have a whole lot of books, and my kids got bored with the books we were reading them right away, so I started just making up stories for them. And we had so much fun doing that.
And now, or they're like, that's not what that page says, they've memorized it. I love that.
That's hilarious. Oh, I get that. Well, I got that one before, yeah. But this is, it's not only another way to bond with your kids, it's a way to really do our job as parents and help them be able to fly out of the nest one day, being better readers, understanding reading better. There's nothing they're going to do in life where reading is not going to be needed.
So, and to your point about not having very many books, we have one of the most beautiful libraries in this state, right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and everything is free.
Yeah.
It's free. You just have to get there and check out the book. So I encourage people to do that. But the other thing is, if you live in Southwood County, so if you live in Rudolph, Vesper, Port Edwards, Nacoosa, Wisconsin Rapids, United Way actually has a book gifting program for children from birth to age 5. It's called Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, where kids receive a free, literally no strings attached, free book in the mail every month. So if the child, if you know a child that resides in those, in one of those zip codes, please connect with us at United Way so that we can get that child signed up.
The best $30 you'll spend all year. It's such a good, worthwhile thing, and I cannot tell you how good you will feel doing it. Try, especially if you need some good points, you know.
So if you want to sponsor a child, it's $30, but if you are a recipient, no cost.
Yeah. We will take a break, come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club right here at Mornings on WFHR.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. If you're hungry, treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. And 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. You get there. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Terry, I need you to give me a 1 or a 2.
2.
All right. That gives us our qualifier so we can get right to the celebrating. Want to wish a very happy birthday to Jackson Carlson.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jackson. Have a great day. Hope it's a good one to you. And our qualifier today, Ashley Vogelsang.
Happy birthday.
Ashley, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for you. And you are our qualifier for today. Appreciate that. And we appreciate whoever got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. We want a huge list. info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com. Direct message us on Facebook with your birthdays and anniversaries as well.
I was very impressed with last month because we had 31. We had a qualifier for every single day.
That was really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that was
great. It's been a long time. So keep it coming.
Yeah, let's keep that. Hey, we even have one less day this month. So we have We only need 30, everybody. Come on, give them to us. Let's dive into the celebrity birthdays for today. Kendall Jenner is 27. I don't know a thing about her. I honestly don't. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't. I don't pay attention. I don't really. Not my thing. But happy 27th. Yep. Colin Kaepernick, 35. Very happy birthday to Mr. Kaepernick. Let's see. Dolph. This is one I wanted to touch on. Dolph Lundgren is 65 today. Ivan Drago and Rocky IV and Creed 2.
Oh, yeah. II. I'm like, remind me who that is. But yeah, got it.
The Expendables.
Yep.
I always like to bring this up, and I guess it's probably a little more common knowledge now, but Dolph Lundgren, actually a literal rocket scientist. He has a degree in chemical engineering.
Funny on cliche day.
It kind of is, isn't it? But I think that's really cool.
That is super really cool. You just don't really hear that ever.
No. Phil Simms is 67, New York Giants, legendary quarterback. Adam Ant is 68, from Adam and the Ants. Goody Two Shoes. If your name is Adam Ant, I mean, Adam and the Ants is a really bad name. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a horrible
name.
There
is no creativity there at all. And they probably thought it was hilarious when they came up with it.
Yeah. God awful name. one of our own, Kathy Kinney, is 68 today. You know her as Mimi on The Drew Carey Show. Steven Point's own.
Very cool.
She's very cool. That is very cool. You know, she's... She was on Newhart as well, and I forgot that.
Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
You know, she does keep blue eyeshadow in the circuit,
yes,
though.
Yes, she does. She does, yeah. And I actually, I think one of the tragedy, not tragedy, the actual tragedy, but one of the sad things about that, she's a pretty beautiful woman. I think she's a very pretty woman, but Mimi was always, you know, had all the makeup and all that, so she's kind of known as that. But I've heard her say in interviews, she has no complaints. She's very thankful for what that role opened up for her.
And I really like her, and I think she has a really cool personality. But, you know, that makeup mirrored Mimi's personality. So, you know what I mean? Perfectly. Like, it was, it could not have been cast better.
No. Yeah. I actually look back at that show a little bit, kind of like, I didn't appreciate that show. It actually wasn't a bad show.
Like, there
show.
Was way more to it than you gave it credit for. Yeah.
Dennis Miller is 69, former Weekend Update correspondent on Saturday Night Live. Of course, has become a bit of a pundit in his later career, but started out as a stand-up comedian. Kate Upshaw is 69. She is Steven Spielberg's wife. You may remember her as the screaming blonde Willie Scott in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. That's Steven Spielberg's wife.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. His daughter, Jessica, plays Dr. Arizona Robbins on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
I had no idea that was his daughter, though.
Yeah.
That's really cool that you tell me that, because now I'll think about that differently. So
I always have such an admiration for these actors that... They could easily, hey, I'm Steven Spielberg's daughter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the moment you walk into the room, you don't even introduce yourself. So like, hey, here's my dad. Here's my resume. My dad.
By
like,
the way.
And I know that most of us think, well, that's not how I would want a job and all that. And that's all well and good. Wait until you're 45 and you've been fighting for this since you were 7. Yeah. And you're like, right now at this point in my life, I wouldn't do it. But I don't know in my younger age if I would have. If I had a famous uncle or something like that, if I would have rode those coattails.
But like,
I don't know. I admire when people don't do that.
What if you don't verbalize it, but you just like put it on your t-shirt?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just asking.
I love the idea, especially like, I've always thought Colin Hanks looks a little bit like his dad and his mom. So having a picture of both of them on his
like,
shirt.
You might recognize my parents.
Like, wait a minute. Like, wait a minute. Oh, I just happened to be wearing this shirt.
This old thing.
Why am I wearing a Tom Hanks shirt? Well, it just so happens, you know, my dad. But let's focus on the audition.
I mean,
let's,
so that might be like just smart.
I think that is really, really. I think as we're getting longer in the tooth here with the acting game, it's not what it used to be. Like you, nowadays, if you are Steven Spielberg's kid and you go into an audition, chances are 70-80% of people are going to be cool with that. But there's that 20%.
Oh, sure.
You don't know.
But
and
like,
might, you know, not
you know, maybe you bring your coffee mug in and it just kind of says like Steven Spielberg's daughter.
Yes,
like you know, you just don't say anything.
Yeah,
you just kind of rotate it a little bit.
I love the way your mind works. You're so right. This is I gotta call this. This is the day for controversial birthdays, apparently. We had Colin Kaepernick earlier, Kendall Jenner, and now Roseanne Barr is 70. Like not all of these are controversial. Oh, Dennis Miller, another one. Like a lot of these a bit controversial.
Maybe there's something in the stars on that day or something.
Maybe.
You know?
Roseanne Barr is 70 today. Happy birthday to Roseanne. Yeah, she said some pretty crazy things too. I feel like oftentimes, society as itself, whether it's right or wrong, punishes people for messing up. Having a status, having an acting career, writing career, all these things, that's not a birthright. It's a privilege. And there are a billion people behind you that are more talented or waiting to have their shot. So I don't ever have any sympathy for people that get quote unquote canceled or any of these things. You get the world you make. You know, you get what you put into the world. If you put negativity into the world, then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're no longer a billionaire and every business in the world wants nothing to do with you. That's accountability. You want to say what you say? Hey, it's a free world. It's a freedom of speech. You can do that. But there is a cost to that. You can't run into a building and yell fire when there is not one and have there be no accountability. Roseanne deserves the accountability she has had to take. At the same time, I think you can look at her career and be impressed. That woman started from nothing. Nothing and turned that TV show and her stand-up career into that TV show, which is still going even without her. That's impressive. We got to be able to do two things at once, chew gum and walk at the same time. Most of us can do that. We can do it with subjects. I'm not giving Roseanne a job. I don't have no interest in seeing her work anymore. I don't care. But what I do care about is giving credit where it's due when it's so... it's so quick to, especially if I can say this, minorities, women, these things, it is so easy for us to just forget that stuff. Oh, Roseanne's nothing but a terror. She's a horrible person, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to begrudge that. That's your opinion one way or another. But one thing I don't think you could debate is she did something out of nothing. And that's the American dream. That's that. We can't be. Unfortunately, you crush her. You're going to crush that whole sentence, that whole biography. You have to be able to do two things at once. We do this. I like to think most of us do this with our historical figures. I look up to a lot of our former presidents. A lot of our former presidents would get canceled nowadays. Some have been. I can do two things at once. I can look at the positives and also see some negatives because they're human beings. Every single one of us are guilty of this. Every one of us, and none of us are Mother Teresa, okay? And even Mother Teresa wasn't Mother Teresa. She had one or two things. Well, outside of Terry, of course, and my mom. I should mention my mom and Terry.
Yeah, your mom. I mean, really, James. But today is a weird birthday.
It is weird.
Group.
There's a bunch of these. Michael Dukakis is 89. Not necessarily controversial, but
no,
a little
but
bit,
it is
you know,
just
yeah,
interesting.
Let's see here. And some people no longer with us, like Mike Evans, born in 1949, passed away in 2006. Lionel Jefferson on All in the Family and the Jeffersons. He also co-created Good Times.
Oh,
he's a very good entertainer. And the great Charles Bronson, born on this day in 1921, passed away in 2003, long before Bruce Willis and so many other of those kind of like stone face action stars. You had Charles Bronson, baby. just the Magnificent Seven, Death Witch, the Dirty Dozen. Like, if you needed that guy, he's who you call, Charles Bronson. Like, just I never looked at Charles Bronson as a thespian. I looked at him as somebody who understood what he was good at and stayed with that. Very similar, a modern equivalent to that would be Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford has made an incredible career, and you haven't really seen him really outside of maybe like a movie like The Devil's Own or something. You've seen Harrison pretty much stick to what he does, and that's great. That's cool. If you're good at it, go for it. I think there's a lot to be said for that. One more time, very happy birthday to Jackson Carlson, and a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Ashley Vogel Singh. Keep getting us these birthdays and anniversaries for November. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR. Go ahead and like our Facebook page and direct message us your birthdays and anniversaries that way. Take a listen to Melissa's news, and then head on over to Misty's and wish him a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:38 on the clock. Terry and James here with you. Got the band back together. Got some fun stuff to take you to the top of the hour. Now that Halloween is behind us, here comes Thanksgiving stories. We've already heard how the average dinner will cost more this year thanks to inflation and other factors, but one store just announced a throwback sale. Aldi, which has 2,200 stores in 38 states, we got one right here in town in Rapids, is giving customers a break by selling certain turkey staples at their 2019 prices. Not everything is resetting to its old price, but a few things they mention in the press release include stuffing, rolls, apple pies, and certain types of wine. They say some items will be discounted up to 30%.
No candy yams?
It doesn't look like it, but...
Do you like sweet potatoes?
They're okay. They're okay.
Yeah, I kind of like them too.
I'm not big, my history with potatoes, of course. I'm the last person
it's
to
totally
ask.
It's totally different.
It is different. It is true. I will agree to that. It is definitely different.
That's kind of cool that they're doing that.
This is incredibly cool they're doing this. And I got to say real quick, sorry, Terry. Of all the business, all the grocery chains to do this, this is the one that can least afford to do it. They have the least to work with to do it. And they're the ones doing it.
Do you think?
I'm positive. I bet $100 on it easily. That they're the easily. You're telling me Whole Foods and some of these bigger chains that like they sell like a jar of an asparagus in a jar with water for $15. Like some of these places and stuff. I'm not talking like Piggly Wiggly, IGA. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more
big,
like those places.
I don't know. I think that a big part of the like where Aldi's gets their break is the the bulk buys that they do and that they don't always have the same things. So then their markup. But of course, I mean the driver for the company, right, is that then you're going to do all of your whole grocery shopping
there.
If you literally just go in and get those four items. Then, they probably lose. But overall, I think that, you go in there and while you're there, you pick up some fresh produce and you pick up some, other things. And I think it's a great, it's no different than anybody else's sale flyer, right? But it's a great enticement to get people to come in and do that. It's cool.
every little bit helps.
Absolutely. You
know? So that's really smart on their parts. In other Thanksgiving news, Campbell's started selling a special plate for Thanksgiving sides this week, and it immediately sold out. You can sign up for email alerts to get notified when they're back in stock at sideseasons.com. If you don't get one, you're not missing that much. It's just a plastic plate with dividers for five sides, so they don't touch. Each one is $15, and all the proceeds go to Charity Feeding America. So that part
That's super cool.
That is really cool.
Do you have this issue?
I do. In my defense, and they would both tell you this, I grew up just looking up to my grandmother, my grandfather, and my papa so much, and both of them were Marines, and that's the way they ate. Everything was separated because they grew up in, you know, they were 17 when they joined the armed forces and everything. The only way they know how to eat is separating their food.
So that's how I am. Our Thanksgiving is so big that we use paper plates because, seriously, like, right, I am not, I mean, we're talking like 45 people.
Yeah.
So, and it's always the divider ones. But I think the intention is not, I can't think of anybody that I, in our group that, you know, must have it divided. But I think that it's just because of the sheer size, like, so that you can get some of everything, or they, I guess they make those platter, you know, kind of like the Chinette, the heavy ones. But so we do have the divider plates, but I don't, I'm like, mix it together, except for dessert. I don't want my dessert mixed in.
As my dad would always say, it all ends up in the same place and everything. Yeah, but I'll tell you, and I'll own this, but it's one of the most ridiculous things any of you are ever going to hear. I love corn. I can't stand when the corn juice gets into my meat or anything else.
Yeah.
I hate it.
What about a little gravy touching your corn?
I don't even have to worry about that because I don't put gravy on my plate because I don't eat potatoes.
Yeah, but you wouldn't use gravy for your turkey?
Nope. Oh, no, you're right.
A little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
So what if a little corn jumped over the little divider and
that
got in there?
That corn's gone to me. It's dead to me. It's dead. It's gone. That poor corn. I feel bad for it. I have a little bit of a moment where I'm like, I'm sorry, corn, but no, it's gone.
Oh, I'm like, you know, take the potatoes and kind of well them out, put the corn in the middle, and then put the gravy over the top.
That's my dad. That's my dad's game. I'm actually not that bad. I just thought it'd be funnier if I really leaned into it. But
my dessert has to be on a different plate. Like, I can't clean that plate completely off and then set my pie on top of that dirty plate.
That one I'm more serious about. That one, yeah, I don't like I don't like sweet and other flavors like mixing together.
Well, why would
any
you want to taste gravy on your pumpkin pie?
No.
Yuck.
Our five favorites. Campbell's also did a poll that found 2/3 of Americans like Thanksgiving sides more than turkey, and half of us would be okay with only having side dishes. Our five favorites are mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, stuffing, and mac and cheese. When I was off in California at UCLA, I obviously didn't have any family out there. So me and my roommate, Will, we had kind of a makeshift Thanksgiving. We didn't have a turkey, so we just had sides. And it was actually pretty fun. It was a nice Thanksgiving. Yeah. It was very, very Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
I think, though, you cannot get good gravy without the turkey, like without the juices of the meat. Right. And you also can't, I mean, I like stuffing that is actually stuffed in the bird. You know, you get like that savory flavor. Like, I'm not a stovetop stuffing kind of person, homemade stuffing. So to me, those would be missing. But otherwise, I'm game for that. And I love turkey, but I feel my plate is 99% sides and a little bit of turkey.
Same here. I should admit, too, we didn't have stuffing. Will's girlfriend at the time brought stuffing over, so we did have that. And I actually hadn't eaten a lot of stuffing up to that point. Love it.
Love stuffing now. My mom still hosts Thanksgiving, so I don't have to do all of the heavy lifting, although I do go and peel all of her potatoes for her, all 25 pounds of potatoes.
Wow.
But I am the green bean casserole maker, so I've gotten that down to a pretty good science.
Right on. We will take a break right here.
It's not hard.
I don't know. That's one of those ones I haven't made. So I'm all like, oh, wow, that's
amazing.
Thank you.
Nice. I appreciate that.
Take a break. Come back and get into a couple of topics. The average American begins to notice signs of aging at... we have an actual age, but I will say 10. You start 10. Noticing at 10 years old. You start
probably 30.
Oh, yeah, at least. We'll get to that in a moment here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Just a heads up, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to welcome in our friends from the Central Chamber Corral. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, a little bit later, Morning Magazine, we have our friends from Mid-State in with us. And then in part two, Janelle Weir, a horticultural educator with UW Extension.
I always love talking
about. Great lineup
to
today. Yeah.
Yeah, really good one. And we got some other things we want to touch on. We'll do that before we wrap up the hour. But right now, I did want to mention this one because this is. I find this kind of funny, to be honest with you, Terry. When it comes to your health, you can get away with almost anything in your 20s and early 30s. But after that, you're doing whatever you can to stave off aging.
Oh, so I might have called it when I said 35, huh?
You sure did. A new study was found that the average American begins to notice the signs of aging at age 42, and on average, people believe they're at their peak of health at age 34.
Interesting.
So, not everyone was even that lucky. 15% of people say that they notice signs of aging before 35. And it's more about health than male pattern baldness, gray hairs, or wrinkles. Some of the indicators that they mention include joint pain, high blood pressure, diabetes, slower metabolism, weight gain, and quote-unquote chronic issues.
Interesting. I mean, I think some people just think about like when you know, when you kind of just slow down a little bit. Like you don't necessarily have things wrong, but I guess it could be, you know, that they think that that's aging. I don't know. I think it's maybe just being a little smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to mind getting older necessarily. I mean, there's moments where it's like, oh, come on, you know, or something like that. But for the overall, I will never be able to not appreciate being alive. Well, I know how silly it might sound, but to me, that's the end. That's what it's all about.
For me, it's like I always feel like each decade just gets a little better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like right now, I mean, I wouldn't go back to my 20s for anything. I'm not unappreciative of my 20s and it was fun and, you know, whatever. But I just, when I hear people say that, oh, I'd love to be 25 again. I'm like, I would not.
I hear people say this a lot. I peaked at this age. I peaked at that age. Maybe I did, but I have no idea. As far as I'm concerned, I'm peaking right now.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
It seems sad. Why not? Let's say that somebody told me who studied my life or whatever and said, well, actually you peaked at 24. It's like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. No way I did. There's not even humanly possible I could have. Was I better looking then? Was I younger looking then? Or those things? Oh, damn, yeah. but I wouldn't say I was at my best. I think that every year I'm getting better and better. Every year we're all a work in progress. I don't think I'm not alone in this, I don't think. I think more than not, more people are like that. We just don't we're too hard on ourselves.
Well,
we beat ourselves up. We're our own worst critic.
What we care about and what we appreciate changes, though, too.
Very, very.
You know,
well,
you know what I mean? When you said, oh, well, I was better looking then. But how important is that really? At the time,
right,
it was really
right.
super important,
sure.
right? When
yeah.
you were 24, yeah. that was super important. Now, you have so many other things on your appreciation
yes.
list that
yeah.
that's just not, you know what I mean? Yes, you have to have self-care, but it's not, I don't know. I think we get a lot smarter, much wiser as we age.
You know, with age comes perspective, and perspective can be one of the greatest friends you ever have because it oftentimes will not only help you appreciate things a little bit more, but give you a lot of what you're saying there, I think, Terry, some grace for yourself. We need to do it for other people as well, but it starts at home. It starts with doing it with yourself. And instead of, I mean, more times than not, you look in the mirror and you're seeing the rinks, the cracks in the armor and these kind of things. But most people don't see that. They don't know where to look. You do. You know, and it's oftentimes we're beating ourselves up for really no reason.
But going back to the story, I mean, I do think that physical self-care is important.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like you have your screenings, have your regular checkups, do all of those things so that you have more time to appreciate. And you know, so I think there's a little bit of a lesson in that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, for one, it's all what you put into it. Like everything else in life, if you want to...
Like your metabolism?
Yes.
Like what you put in your mouth?
Right, right. well done. You get what you put in. So if you want to feel younger, you want to live younger, any of those things, take care of yourself. You know, put into it. I don't care as far as the physical appearance stuff, what other people think. You should be able to look in the mirror and feel good about yourself. You should be able to look and say, you know what? I got a good looking day. I got a good hair day going
or
on.
Or maybe you...
Good hair. You know, just good day.
Maybe you think about milestones that you have coming, right?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? If
yeah.
your kids are of an age where you're like, oh, they're going to get married in the next, whatever, 5, 10, you know, I'm not saying you have that planned out for them, but no, I'm just saying, you know,
yeah.
like you think about like, I want to be around for that stuff.
Exactly.
I want to be healthy at that stuff.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy grandchildren or, you know, whatever it might be. I think that that's could be a good motivator too.
I might darn near be immortal because I cannot imagine anything that is going to happen to take me out this game where I'm not there for my kids. I couldn't agree with you more. That is such a, and I don't think you need kids necessarily to have that feeling. You probably have somebody out there you care about, and that can be just as much of an incentive. But I mean, that is number one, first thing on my mind when it comes to, you know, taking care of my health, getting checkups and these things. I got insurance essentially because of that. I was kind of like debating, and I had that, you know, whole chart of positives and negatives, and I'm going through it. And by the end, I'm thinking about what this stuff that we're talking about. I threw the list out. It didn't matter. Whatever negatives were on there, it didn't matter. Kids matter. That's the first thing.
Yeah, but it might be your fur babies, or it might be, you know, whatever it is. But there's something that there's you can look forward to in the. And I'm not talking about like the distant, like 20 years from now. You know, there's something in the next 2 to 3 years, or even closer than that, that
really like
that you need to think about your health for.
Yeah, yeah. On average, the age of 39 is when people start to make changes to their health and wellness routines to account for not any getting any younger.
but don't you think there's that old stigma of like when you turn 40? Oh, like, remember that when we were kids? Like, anyone who turned 40, that's when all the black stuff came out. You know, like just all of that, you know, definitely. Over the hill. But then when you're 40 and you're pushing 50, you're like, 40 was nothing, and 40, 50 is nothing. You know, it's just kind of funny.
Somehow, perspective. I'm in better shape in my 40s than I was in my 30s. I don't know how,
and
but
life is good.
It,
you know,
yeah. I mean, as my papa would always say, Jimmy, you think you're having a bad day? Try not having one. That's a bad day. if you are hearing our voice right now, you got a good
day. You're
on
the right side of the grass. Yep. It's a good day.
Starbucks does this every season, and they're at it again. The Starbucks holiday menu is out today.
Today, yes, I saw that.
Fans always look forward to finding out what their newest drink is, and the answer is this year there isn't one. It's the same 6 drinks as last year: peppermint mocha, caramel brulee latte, chestnut praline latte.
That's really good.
Toasted white chocolate macchia, ice cream cold brew, and ice sugar cookie almond milk latte. Dear God.
The chestnut. Hey, shush.
I know.
I'm not a huge Starbucks person, honestly. Yeah. I mean, my kids are, because what teenage girl isn't, honestly. But that chestnut praline one is like.
I'd try that.
Really good.
I'd try that.
Now, it's got all of your calories for like 3 days in it. So you maybe only want to have one once in a while. But it's good.
They did add one new food item, a chocolate pistachio swirl cinnamon bun.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Dunkin' has a holiday lineup that hit yesterday. They've got a new cookie butter cold brew and a cookie butter donut this year. I'd try that. And the newest hot breakfast option is called the Pancake Wake-Up Wrap. It's a bacon or sausage, egg, and cheese wrapped in a pancake like a breakfast taco.
Not to be confused with a sandwich.
Yeah, right. Nicely played.
Just saying.
Oh, I love a good callback. They're just like the normal wake-up wraps they've had for a while, but with a pancake instead of a tortilla. They come with a side of syrup.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. The pancake one sounds way better to me than the tortilla.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm 100%. You know how, like, and I like tortillas, but
McDonald's has those breakfast burritos, and I know so many people that absolutely love them, and I'm like, that's so gross. Like, to me, that's not breakfast.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I like eggs and sausage. I mean, I like all those things, but it's just not, I don't know. It's not right.
They also brought a few things back from last year: the peppermint mocha latte, toasted white chocolate latte, holiday blend coffee, and cranberry orange muffin.
Yum.
Those are great. Yum. I have had those. Those are really good. Yeah. I don't know. Is there any of these that you haven't tried, or you have tried, or you want to try?
You know, I don't know. I've tried a lot of those. I'm typically just a hot black coffee drinker.
Right.
You know, and so, but I'm also a dessert person. So like the peppermint mocha, I just absolutely love that. And I love all of it. I like the whipped cream and the shaved chocolate on the top, and just, like, it's kind of funny because any of those hot drinks, I can actually, like, just sit back and, like, savor. Like, I just appreciate it, which sounds really dumb, but I just, I don't know. I love them. But again, for me, it's the moderation part because, seriously, I could have one of those every day and I would be, like, looking for new pants.
Right. Yeah.
So, so I, you know, definitely think it's the moderation, but I absolutely love them.
They're turning 20 this year, the peppermint mocha. I haven't had one in probably almost 20 years, but I do remember liking it because it wasn't overwhelmingly peppermint.
No, it's not. And honestly,
and I'm a sucker for mocha. I'll tell you that.
The Starbucks one is my favorite one. Like I said, I'm not a go-to to Starbucks, but if I happen to be having, you know, the littles in the car and going through, and I'll get one, and it's good. And I think it just has the right balance. You know, it's not overly sweet. It's not overly peppermint. It's been perfected, apparently.
Yes, yeah, it seems like it. We, again, wanted to remind everybody, We Energies will be handing out We Energy cookbooks in Witterfield West parking lot at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids today from 10 to 2. You can learn a bit more about cookie book on the website, we-energies.com. That's we-energies.com.
So the theme this year is small towns in Wisconsin. So they have different cookies from different small towns that are they're contributed by their customers. But it's a great cookie book. So if you don't have one, they're new every year. Go get one.
I'm definitely going to grab one from my mom today, but I have never done this before, Terry. Is there things people should keep in mind?
Just a drive-through on Lincoln Street, like the front of Witterfield, where you go in through if you're going to a Raptor game, where you go in through the gate. So they'll have it all. They'll have some barricades up to direct traffic, and they just have you drive through. You don't get out of your car or anything. They just hand you your cookie book through the window. Anyone who arrives is eligible, so you don't have to be a We Energies customer. It's just a show of goodwill and holiday spirit for the communities where there are We Energy locations. So they're doing it all over the state. Not today. They have different dates.
Yeah.
But it is cool, and it is our local We Energies staff that hand them out. So you know what? When you go through, thank them.
Yeah.
They do great things in this community, not just with the service they provide, but the way that they support the community. And it's fun. Like, I will tonight, guess what I'll be reading? My cookie book.
Right on.
Guaranteed.
Right on. Well said. Thank you for that, Terry. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR.